whipped again with pace. It's in! Spurs salvation! Harry Kane leads the party! And they will escape from the bridge with a point! That is one heap of Tottenham joy!
Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. There will be a link tree in this episode's description with all of those links, so please follow the show, all of the guys, and click that subscribe button to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Hey there, and thanks again for joining us. It's Tuesday, September 13th. It's about 4 p.m. Eastern, and we're here to discuss, unfortunately, Spurs 2-0 Champions League group stage defeat in Lisbon versus Sporting. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined by my good friend, JR. A little nostalgia moment as you get the two of us to talk about a rather unpleasant Spurs result, which was kind of the run that we had when we first started potting together. A couple of the guys had some things going on, you know, after work. It was an early start and whatnot, so we wanted to keep up with the consistency and get you guys a pod out there. And we're going to share a lot of your commiserations as well. But JR, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Spurs kind of ruined the afternoon. Didn't really expect that to happen. I expect us to come out a lot more fired up, especially with the extra days off. Disappointing to say the least, but I know you have a couple bullet points and we're going to kind of hit them as we go through this. So I'll kind of wait to give my opinion because I feel like we're going to be sharing a lot of the same resentment today.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get to those points, and let's get to a lot of your points that you hit us with on the socials, but we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Podspur. I'm joined by JR. We're here talking Spurs 2-0 Champions League group stage defeat to Sporting. JR, any bright points for you in this one?
I guess Hugo. I mean, it could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for him. It's sad when that's all you can really say, but yeah, that's really all my bright spots I have for today.
Right. I got Hugo. I think his shot stopping ability was definitely on full display there. Not much he could have done on the corner and let down by the 10 players in front of him on that second goal.
What's a bright spot that we should say, because our fans showed up over there. I know we had a couple of our boys in Spurs chat who got over there, Richie and the guys, but Spurs fans were plentiful over right in Sporting today. And if there's a bright spot, the fans at least were showing up and being loud. I mean, you could hear the Spurs fans on TV even through the end. So I mean, that's our bright points, Hugo and the fans. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it sucks to travel all that way for a fan and see that type of shit performance. You know, you spend your hard-earned money on not only the ticket but the travel, the lodging, and all of that, and you see that type of display. You know, so I was going to go Hugo. I was also going to say Richarlison. I just find him a joy to watch. Although did stray off sides like three balls in a row in the first half, which was mildly frustrating. At least he was getting into those areas and like getting us into a chance creating position. And then his energy, he just never stops. I could watch that guy play all day long. And I think he could play all day long. It just seems like it. And then finally, I want to go with Deki coming off the bench. I think instant impact again. Within 3 minutes of him coming on the pitch, I think he was probably our best player. He has to start. I think that's a big talking point that we can definitely spend some time on, JR. We had a lot of that in our three words on Spurs after the match. So, again, if you're not following us on Twitter or Instagram, get on there and you can get that reply to those posts and join our conversation. So Mpo at @Afro_Scott said Deki must start. DHT at Taylor_made_boy said no creativity whatsoever. Is Deki our most creative player, JR?
You would like to think not with the amount of depth that we have on this team. You know, it's sad that he's going to have to create these stuff he's going to have to create because our midfielders just aren't doing it right now. They're more of these ball controls, stop the counterattack type midfielders. It's sad, though, if a team that consists of Richarlison, Kane, and Son, and we're saying Deki is our most creative player right now, that might be a red flag for us. I mean, we really – it was our first loss this year, so maybe it's a little bit come back to reality. But that's an interesting point you brought up. And if that's true, then we better have something in this January transfer window coming up where we get some creativity on this fucking team.
Right. I think, you know, just kind of looking at the defense, the midfield, and the forward players, I think our defense was – you know, they really didn't have to do too much. I think Eric Dyer was spun around by Marcus Edwards on that amazing run he had, which he probably should have finished if not for a great Hugo save. Ben Davis really struggled with Trincao down the left. And then Emerson was just absolutely poor going forward. You have to wonder, you know, as much as we talk about Sun potentially getting rested or swapped out of the starting lineup, how much longer is Emerson's run in the starting 11 going to go?
Well, let's all right. That'll be our first point we're talking about is Royale, because that's a big one. I mean, right. Twitter's going off about him. The Spurs boy chat with the Brits are going off about him. And as far as us American standpoint and what we're seeing now, you know, a lot of the American fans are unfamiliar with Spence, the guy that we brought in, who's touted as a young, talented back. But if he can't get on right now to replace what we saw with Royal, that's a problem. And I don't know if it's
or Matt Daugherty.
What's going on? Is Daugherty still injured? Like, this is another thing where if today's match was done under Mourinho, people would be outside of White Hart Lane with, you know, pitchforks and signs saying to get him out. But because it's Conte, it's like, oh, it's okay. This is a Europa League type group. This should not be a problem with us if we think that we're one of these top tier echelon teams. And if Sun Football just had us in the top 10 football teams in all of the world, ranking us number 9, just ahead of Arsenal at 10. If we're to be considered in the top 10 football teams in the world, this kind of shit just can't happen.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I think, you know, he did have some decent crosses in there in the first half. He had one that went right across the face of goal. No one just got to it. But he had the one where he had a lot of time on that he just kicked out of bounds. Like, just really, really poor. His counterpart, Ivan Perisic, did create two chances. He had a ball to Richie that Richie headed that just got saved and created that chance across the face of goal for Kane. But outside of those two moments, I thought Perisic looked old today. I thought he looked like a 34-year-old wing back or whatever it might be. And we talked about on our preview podcast for this one on the weekend whether or not Spurs would see some rust today. And I think we did see that. I think had we played versus City, sure, you run the risk of, you know, an injury or some fatigue because of a tight-fought game. But I think if you also get a point or get a result versus City, you're riding those highs and riding those fumes. And, you know, maybe it lifts you up to a new level here and gets you at least a point out of this one. But I thought Kane and Son looked far off of it. Touches were heavy. Højbjerg was, I mean, he's been maybe our best player so far this season. He was atrocious, just wayward passes left and right. Bentancur was a little bit better than him on the ball, but not as, you know, smooth as he normally was. But just could not bolster any creativity from this starting 11 and going forward. And I think that's going to be a big problem that we're going to tend to deal with a lot this season. We're going to see this low block and try to counter on us a lot because the blueprint has been laid. You know what I mean? Our friend Dustin, who, you know, couldn't be on today, said his three-word review was second gear Spurs. He wants us to talk about the lack of sub usage by Spurs. And I know that's a hot topic thing. Triple P at WhaleyMan22 says will not sub for his three-word. So what do you think it is with Conte with waiting until, you know, after the 70th minute to sub? I think as Spurs fans under Poch, under Mourinho, we kind of used to those subs at, you know, 60 minutes, but we're seeing subs later and later under Conte, and I think we're seeing the need for him much earlier than that.
Well, a couple things. The one point you said I want to touch on was Perisic and looking kind of, you know, lackluster. He did have two chances, but we got to remember this is now how many games in a row for Ivan that he's playing. We started the season and he was coming on as a sub, gradually getting moved in, and now he's getting 90-minute runs almost every game. Maybe this would have been the game to kind of bring him in off the bench and have him come in fresh. So, hey, that's one notch against Conte right there that I'm already thinking. But two, it's fluidity. Where did this fluidity go with this team where we were in the spring earlier this year and everyone was linking up great and it just looked like we were one organism moving on that on the pitch? Today, it looked like we had 11 guys out there who never played together. And, you know, to me, that's another notch on Conte today. Like, why was your team not ready? You had extra rest. And if they had this mentality going into a hostile away environment, why did you not put any subs in? You have 5 subs right now. I don't. If you think guys aren't giving it their all, get them off the pitch and get some guys in off the bench who are going to run. I would have loved to seen Sessegnon get in there early, especially with his pace, attacking that near post when he does off the edge. I just don't understand that Is it a hard-headedness of Conte? Did he want to wait until, you know, these guys became more self-motivating? Because it maybe it's just me, but this team today reminded me of the end of the Poch era when guys just didn't have any motivation and they were just running around and you were kind of just waiting for it to click in. And that's what we did for 90 minutes today. We just kept waiting for this team to click and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think Son is the biggest example of that. He's really pressing for that goal. And I think the harder he presses, it's just not coming for him. It's, you know, he's more of a rhythm guy and he does score in bunches. So, you know, my three-word review was went through the motions. I think it was very much we were out there. You know, like you said, there was no fluidity. There was the lack of creativity. Like I said, no creativity whatsoever, which TaylorMade said. It was a tough watch. It really was. But I don't understand the sub thing. Like you mentioned, you talked about Conte, you know, whether he's waiting for the team to click on and why we're not using those five subs. I mean, my biggest issue, and you're going to hear this every time this happens to Spurs this season with, you know, playing against the low block and not being able to be creative, is, you know, you give this team the ball and they're going to struggle to break it down because we don't have a playmaker out there. And whether that's Dejan Kulusevski, you know, kind of being that inverted, you know, winger and coming in and cutting in and finding people. But I think that was a big miss in the transfer window. And as good of a window as this was, I think bringing in a true number 10 would have made it even better. So when you face sides like this, you're able to slide someone in, you're able to get a Zaniolo in or a James Maddison or, you know, whoever it might be, a Lucas Paqueta. But we didn't go there. And, you know, for whatever reason, Conte didn't want to go there. He's now not using subs to remedy this, you know, in game and change things up in game. So it's becoming more of a frustrating watch. And I think we're only going to see it more and more as we start to see some of these lower Premier League sides and, you know, a struggling team like Leicester, you know, has to feel pretty confident after watching that result.
It was almost like once the 50 to 60 minute hit, you know, we kind of just started playing like, well, if we can't win it, let's just not lose it. Now we didn't park the bus, but the long cannonballs, the long through balls weren't coming in. It just seemed like heads were down and, you know, the camera would go to Conte and he wasn't up on the sideline yelling and screaming like he normally is, pointing everything out. He was kind of sitting back with his hands crossed and he was kind of just like, all right, just don't lose this game. And then a couple mental errors in the final minutes of this game and we do lose it. So that's like three or four strikes now I'm having on this manager. And I'm just saying this, I love Conte. I know you love Conte. We all love him. But I was a Mourinho guy. I liked him, and he got hammered for stuff like this. And he was, you know, forced out the door. If we played City like this, City probably would have beat a 6 or 7-0, and it would have been a real embarrassment. So a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. Speaking of Conte, when asked post-match, what did you make of your team's performance and what did you say to your players after the game? His response was, I think the game in the first half was in balance between the two teams. Honestly, in the second half, we felt the opportunity to get 3 points and win the game. We had the chances to score, but in the end, we are talking about a loss. For sure, we can do much better in those last few minutes. We conceded a counterattack with a 1v1. It was a player who shot, and Hugo made a really good save. Maybe the most difficult save of the game. After this, the corner, we conceded a goal. I always say to my players that the details move the final result. I think that maybe we don't deserve to win, but at the same time, we don't deserve to lose this game tonight. I kind of have a problem with that last line there. I think Spurs definitely deserve to lose this one tonight. I think for me, you know, like we talked about, the lack of subs, the, you know, kind of setting up like he did. This would have been the game to have taken Son out of the starting lineup, in my opinion, and get his mind right for Leicester, who's been struggling in the league. But we all know a certain doctor could come in and fix that. But what did you make of Conte's comments on that, JR?
Well, what did he mean about the details? Like the details were there. I didn't see any tactics. I correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, we all watched that game together, and you know, we're not the Brits. We haven't been, you know, with Tottenham for 30, 40 years, but we've watched this team now for a good solid 10 years, and there were no tactics in that first half. I don't know what Conte was seeing, but besides a few cross balls from Ivan Pay, I don't really know what tactics we saw that he could hang his hat on and be proud of. I mean, no fluidity, no self-motivation. To me, that's not details. That's piss poor results from a team that was not prepared to play today.
No, I definitely agree with you. Like you said, just a capitulation of bad things happening. if you had to look at it like this, you know, from today and pick your starting 11 versus Leicester, what are you changing in this one, JR, to try to remedy this?
To be honest, Son's hitting the bench. He's got to rest. I know I argued on last podcast we had that might mess with his head, but the results today showed it. This was a game where Sonny could have made everybody stop, you know, kind of giving him shit and could have made him believe again, but hit the bench for a game or two. Get your head right. Start Kulusevski, start Richarlison, start Kane up top. Let's get Buso in the middle. I mean, Højbjerg needs to sit down and get his head straight today, because I don't know if you have a spot mob score, but he was not, to me, look great. I mean, and we depended on him a lot to make stuff happen. He wasn't there. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe we got some injuries too that we're not really talking about. And Romero in that first half, I think he might have taken a knock. His play in the second half really dragged. Maybe he was just being a man and laboring through in it, but maybe he has to sit. Maybe get Dave back in there for starting lineup. Definitely get Royal off. Hit the bench, dude. I don't care who you got putting in. If Doherty's got one leg, throw him in. If Spence, you really don't think he's ready, at least he's going to run. I mean, Royal was in the right spots. He just couldn't finish. And when your team is struggling up top, you need your wingbacks to at least, you know, give a little bit more than just being able to be there. And he was just there today.
You mentioned Bissouma, and I really like that point. I was thinking about during the match, I for the life of me, can't figure out why he just won't get a chance, or he's not getting put in for more than 10 minutes in each match. An absolute stud for Brighton. I thought it was a great signing. It was hailed as a great signing when it happened. He got COVID right before the preseason started, so it might have taken a little bit longer to get into the system. But outside of Richarlison and Perisic, who Conte has managed before, these new players aren't really getting any lengthy run in the squad. And I would think with the way our midfield plays and fails to create chances, Bissouma would be the natural selection to get in there.
I would have loved to see Lenglet in there too. I mean, at least this guy gives us some great cannonballs over the top or through balls all the way up that can spring Kane. I don't know. It's almost like Conte is just doing it to prove a point, to be like, hey, this is the 11 you guys think is really that good. Here they are. You know, here they are. Deal with it. And I don't know if it rubbed me the wrong way or not today, but his stubbornness and inability to use these five subs early on when can clearly see the energy and team chemistry weren't there. It, to me, was like, you know, he's a second-level thinker. Why was he doing this? There has to be something else behind it that we're not told. And I hope whatever it is gets figured out on this plane ride home, because something needs to change before Leicester, or we're going to be embarrassed by them.
No, I'm with you on that one. We keep hearing the Bayern Munich Harry Kane talk is not going away. It just keeps resurfacing, and now the reports are they made contact with Charlie Kane. I thought Kane was, you know, he hasn't been at his best to start the season, but at least he's been scoring and having goal contributions. I thought he was way off the mark today. Heavy touches, didn't really have that pass, wasn't getting into the spots he normally does. Do you think his head's being turned again? Or, you know, even though, what was it, last week we heard he's very much enjoying life under Conte and, you know, would be interested in talking about that new contract? Or do you think his head could be possibly turned?
To be honest, if you would have asked me this a week ago, I would have said no shot. No way. You know, Harry's going to be here, especially with Conte. But a couple people on Twitter have been saying that, you know, Conte's inability to sign an extension with us is something that could be weighing in on Kane. Maybe if Kane doesn't think Conte is going to be here for the next 2-3 seasons guaranteed, then why would he be here for the next 2 or 3 seasons guaranteed? And maybe he wants to do the same path that Conte's doing. And let's ride this out for our contracts. Let's see if we can win something or get better. And if that's the case, then I'll resign and we'll keep moving forward. But if we don't, and we keep staying stagnant and we keep having games like this, why wouldn't Harry move on to Bayern? I mean, they're like ranked like the 3rd or 4th best team in the world, if not number one.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to see him leave, but that's a real possibility Spurs fans got to start dealing with, that him and Conte are on the same road here. And it all depends on how these other players start playing.
No, that's a good shout. I do want to get to a few more user or follower comments. And I think Paul Duffield kind of hit it on the head at Paul Duffield 7. He said, it's been coming. Although 7 unbeaten, I think that a game like this, a giant flop, was kind of always in the making, you know, within the next few weeks. And unfortunately, we saw it today. We just have bad juju playing in Portugal. Those fucking farmers from Pacos de Ferreira, they tweeted out this morning that it was pretty easy to beat Spurs 2-0 Sporting, and apparently that was so. Has this been coming, JR? Are you long-term worried about this, or do you think that this will kind of correct itself this weekend back in the league?
I don't know if it was Graham or Ed. So somebody in Spurs Boys today said, you know, we're always recently it's been like we've kind of been playing and hoping for a miracle at the end, just get out of there and get done with it. And that's been the, you know, our philosophy the last couple of games. It's how we looked. Rarely recently have we gone in there and set the tone early. And that's what we're missing from this earlier in the spring when we were really coming in and linking up and putting it to these teams and putting up some goals. So I don't know. Something needs to change. Some mentality needs to change in that team. You know, we have four or five captains on the pitch at all times. I mean, there should be leaders on this team that wake people up. And it seems like we're just being asleep.
Yeah, I tend to go back to the point that anytime we see the low block and we're going to be handed the majority of possession, we're really going to struggle with this. You mentioned kind of who you would sub out for the weekend versus Leicester. Before we get out of here, I'll give my take on that as well. My starting 11 for that one would be Hugo. I'd go Sessegnon at left wing back. I'd go Lenglet back in for Davis. Dyer and Romero, if Romero is healthy there. And I'd go Doherty at right wing back. I'd get Emerson out of there, and I'd probably go PEH and Bissouma. I'd get Bissouma in there, and then I'm going Deki, Richarlison, and Kane up top, and hopefully that's enough creativity to break down that struggling Leicester side. But, you know, just an absolute piss-poor performance to watch today. I was off, you know, being a teacher and it being election day. I was really excited for this midday match. I've been battling a cold. A good friend, Donovan Robinson, said, "What did we just endure?" We endured a lot on that. Bad Miss Stamina said, "Pathetic." And JDS at J Sledley is God said, "What a capitulation." And, you know, all those takes just sum it up. It was a frustrating watch. Hopefully it was a one-off. We will see them again. We'll see them at the Lane, and hopefully we can grab 3 points. I don't think by any means the group is, you know, totally theirs. I do look at some of these groups, though, across Champions League and, you know, the top two teams in each group. And, you know, the way things play out, finishing first or finishing second might not necessarily be a huge thing as long as you get out of the group, just because you're going to have some giants on either side of that that either finish first or second. You know, you think about Bayern Munich's group with Barcelona and Inter. You're going to have one of those three teams as a number two seed coming out. So if you win your group, you could face one of those three teams in the first round. So it's always going to be matchup ball, and it's always about survive and advance in the Champions League. And we just got to move on to the next one and hopefully get a win. JR, what do you got for some final thoughts for us?
Final thoughts are, we, you know, little sense of reality for all the Spurs fans. You know, I hope that all the Americans and the new Tottenham fans that we have who are joining in our podcast, you know, understand that today's going to happen. Stuff like this is going to happen, but the framework is there for this team to be great. We've seen it in the spring, and we've only added to it to get better. We're going to have bad performances like this, but this is where our manager, who is a world-class manager, needs to come up and right the ship. So I think we'll be fine. Just keep our heads up.
Right. Well said. I think we need to be much, much more forward, much more progressive thinking. I think that's going to be an area that no matter where we stand in Champions League or the Premier League, that we need to address and probably address in January, even though those type of players don't come along, you know, that frequently in that window. But we need a more progressive playing central midfielder, or else we're going to see a few more of these results throughout the season. So this was a short one just to keep you guys up with our thoughts on the Champions League and give you some midweek content. So I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and be on the lookout for our weekend podcast following that Leicester match, which is scheduled to go on as planned. It's one of seven Premier League matches that the league came out and said will go on as planned. So there were talks of moving that one up to the King Power, or, you know, even canceling it or postponing it, but it will be played at the Lane, and it will be played, you know, as it goes. So that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. Just a reminder, you can get quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. Also, if you're on Discord or you know what Discord is, come join us. Come join our chat. We actually throw up live streams during each match. So if you're ever like working, I know Austin, our good friend Austin Bazan, uses the audio from it while he's working. We always try to get those out there for you. And it's just a good place to connect with primarily U.S. Spurs fans, but we got a few foreigners in there as well. So it's a good space. We'd love to have you. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find our show. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt, for my good friend JR. Hopefully we're talking about 3 points on the weekend. But if not, we'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.